Here we are again, amen. Worshiping the Lord, that was awesome today. Praise God. All right, we're in our series called Old Testament Treasures. And today, we're going to look at the story of the fiery furnace, talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I do not guarantee you I'll pronounce them correctly all through the sermon, but that's just a full disclaimer anyway. But we talk about no compromise. Compromise. And what is compromise? And is there? I know there's times we need to compromise, but there's some things that we can never compromise on, and we need to figure out what that is. So we live today in a world, as you all know, that is trying to mold us into its image. It's trying to make us conform, and God, on the other hand, is telling us not to be conformed to this world. So we all have a decision to make. Each of us needs to choose, you know, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable behavior for a Christian. You know, where is compromise okay and where is it not okay? You know, life's full of choices, and I'll be honest, some of them are hard. You know, sometimes we stick our head in the sand, don't we? And we don't want to deal with things, but sometimes, you know, we need to deal with some things. And some of those choices that you and I make are very hard and hard for us to want to deal with. But anyway, you know, by God's grace, you know, we can make the right ones. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 1, 8 and 9. It's a little bit before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do their thing. But this is where it all starts. And I think we can glean a few things from it. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander and the officials." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for a special stirring in each of our hearts today. Lord, I thank you. You have called us for such a time as this. Lord, help us to be the people who want to make change in this world. Lord, thank you. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And that's not just by chance, but Lord, it's for a reason. Lord, I thank you for the anointing here on each and every one of us, Lord, that we all bring something to the Lord's table here today. Lord, I thank you for just moving in our midst. Lord, I yield to the gift that you've put inside of me, and I want to use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at this, and the first point I want to look at is that little things lead to big things. Little things lead to big things. Now, what had happened is that, you know, the Chaldeans and the army, different thing, they had attacked over in Israel. And what they did is they would take people captive. Now, as a rule, what they would do is they would not take the poor people. You know, the people who didn't have anything, but they were trying to target, you know, people maybe young and strong and hopefully had some wisdom and things like this, and they had something to bring to the new land. And that's what happened here, that the best of the best had been, you know, brought into the king's service. And these were four Hebrew boys that we're going to be talking about. And what they did is they brought them in and they fed them and they clothed them and they educated them. And that's for a reason. Because they were educated in the way of the Chaldeans so that later on they would be the future leaders in the kingdom and possibly they'd even be one of the king's main advisors. And that's what was happening here. So they brought them in and part of the food that they had, they sacrificed it to idols. So the food and drink had been sacrificed to idols so that, you know, Daniel here did not want to partake of food or anything that had been sacrificed to an idol. He did not want to defile himself with that worldly thing. So then what happened is that he set his mind. And see, that's what we need to see. We have to set our mind sometimes on things that we're going to allow or not allow into our life. And so to me, what happened here was when they brought all these young people, the smartest of the smart, shall we say, it's a genius, really. How many know you're a genius if you surround yourself with smart people? See, some people are insecure and they want to surround themselves with dumb people so they can be smart. But see, that doesn't help you. You want to try to find smart people in your life and hang around them because it rubs off on you. You know, I try to find smart people all the time because I like to learn things. So that's what was happening here. So, as I said, Daniel made up his mind of no compromise. No compromise. And that's a decision, you know, that, you know, easily you and I each have to make in our life. Because we're faced with that every day. What are we going to do in our life? How are we going to allow things to happen? And when he did not want to defile himself. Now, a lot of people, you know, are kidding around about this, but this is what happens. You know, when in Rome, you know what I'm saying? Or what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, they could have easily blended in and they could have easily just decided, hey, just this food, we just don't believe it's sacrificed to an idol. It won't hurt us. So I'll go ahead and eat. But see, what that little compromise does is that it pegs us in a hole. And that hole is sometimes hard to get out. You know, I've watched this, you know, in life where, you know, some Christians kind of choose to, you know, live, you know, a very worldly life. And then when it comes that they're trying to witness to somebody and the person brings up this, well, what about you doing this? Well, it just jerks the rug right out from under our feet, you know. And, you know, we need to be aware of some of the decisions that we make. So what I see is that as a Christians, we can't just go along to get along. I know it's nice just to get along and not make waves. Everybody likes that. Everybody loves a peaceful environment. Everybody's just kidding around, having a good time. But I'll tell you what, there's sometimes, you know, as we're going to see, is that we just can't fit in. There are certain things we don't fit into. You know, you can't put a cross in a round hole, right? Can't put a cross in a round hole. And we need to know that we ain't going to fit in, or we're not going to fit into every situation. I know ain't's not a word. I'm trying to correct myself every now and then. I think it's Urban Dictionary. I think it's still cool. I don't know. But anyway, Daniel here, we see some wisdom in what he tried to do. Maybe you're in a compromising situation at work. Maybe there's things there or different things that happen or and whatever. But he understood the authority structure. He just didn't go all out and say, wow, we're not going to eat that. I'm going to die. You know, go on a 40-day food fast. You know, they would just let him die. They didn't care. No, what he did is that he went to the authority and he asked for permission. He knew how established authority worked. And we need to be able to read the room, people. You know, we can't be so naive. You know, a lot of times we get naive and we think that, oh, it's just all going to work out. But sometimes you got to read the room. You got to read who you're dealing with here and how things are working. So what he did is he said, hey, you know, let's test it. 10 days. Come on, 10 days. We'll test it for 10 days and we'll see what happens. And the guy said, okay. You know, the guy probably pocketed the food and the wine, you know, and sold it on the black market. I don't know. But anyway, they did it, and they just ate vegetables and drank water. And what happened is the fact that they were healthier looking than all the other people. How many here has probably tried the Daniel fast maybe once in their life? Yeah, a lot of people have. One, two, three of us? Okay. Maybe four, five? Okay, yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a little hard fast. Not bad. You know, some people do the dirty Daniel fast. That means you don't sort out all the sugar all the time. But anyway, a straight Daniel fast is really kind of boring. The food you eat, you ought to check it out sometime. It's a hoot, right? No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, so they did this and he granted him compassion. What happened when Daniel did this, God gave him favor. You have to understand, there's one thing that you and I can tap into that the worldly people don't have, and that's the favor of God. Never discredit the favor of God and what it can do in your life. The things, doors that it can open for you. And sometimes the doors that will close for you. Because the favor of God, when it's setting upon you, and then it just makes things happen many times, you know. And we know that also God's compassion, or the compassion of God was on him. So, when they asked for the test, and it worked. Also, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, sometimes I'll pronounce Abednego wrong. I'll do Abednego, and it's not that way. It's Abednego. Everybody say Abednego. See, I have a tendency to pronounce things wrong, you know. I found this out the other, well, it's been about a year ago. My kids were, or Kaylee lives down in Tulsa, and they were getting some salsa at her office party or something like that, and she called it picante. It's really picante. But ever since I can remember, I've called it picante. All my kids call it picante. And she got ridiculed. You know, she was persecuted for that. You know, I'm sorry I put my girl through that, my children. But, you know, sometimes you know, you tell kids things to your kids and you think they're right, but I do kind of make up words as I go along, and that's just the way I roll, so please bear with me. But what happened here is that also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were drawn into this with David, or not with David, but with Daniel, and they decided, you know, to do this. And see, it's who you hang around. You know, Daniel, I mean, he got the book named after him, right? I mean, that's cool, ain't it? You had a book named after you in the Bible? Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, I did it right, Abednego, oh, anyway, they were drug along. They were part of it. And we're going to see just by that relationship with Daniel and deciding not to compromise how that paid off in their life. See, we need to make up our minds. You know, we need to settle our moral standards in our mind. You know, I try to tell this to youth all the time. I mean, when you go out on a date, you need to decide that you're not going to do certain things before you go on that date. You need to set some moral standards. You need to decide. And if you're working, you know, at a company and stuff like that, you need to decide, you know, you're going to be very forthright if you're running the cash register and all that things. I mean, I know it maybe sounds silly, but here at the church, if I find a penny on the floor, it goes in the offering. I do not take it for myself. I just, my mind, I want to be a good steward. I don't want to steal. You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds kind of goofy, just a penny, but you know, a penny's a penny, you know what I'm saying? And you know, if we find something on the floor, it goes in the offering. You know, you just got to decide that you're going to have some integrity in your life and what you do with things. And if we set that standard in our mind, then we don't have to visit that decision. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes if we're in the emotional part of a situation or a problem part of a situation, if we have not made that moral decision ahead of time, well, we can easily be swayed by our emotions. And then that's when we start to make a mistake. I'm not saying, hey, the blood of Jesus is there. We could repent. We can get clean. You know, I'm not saying, you know, that can't happen, you know, and it should happen. But why, if there's certain things we can do, why not just set that pattern right now? Why not decide that we're going to be a person of success in doing the things of God? Because what happens sometimes is, you know, we need to do not play or live close to the line. Do not play or live close to the line. A lot of people, they just like living on the edge, right? They like live over right by the line. They're playing. You tell the kids, hey, you can't go past that line right there when you're playing. So they get their ball and they go over right next to the line. And they're playing ball and they're throwing that thing up and kicking it in the air, kicking it around. You know that ball is going to go over the line. They got to go get it. They could easily play in the middle of the yard, but no, they want to play next to the edge. You know, and that's how it was when I was a kid. I lived next to the edge a lot of times. I remember, you know, my parents, we on the farm, when they first got married, they were just starting off and they lived in a little trailer. It was gone that, I mean, I barely remembered. I was little. And they put this trailer, and then I had a tendency of wandering off. You know what I mean? Out on the farm, that might be dangerous sometimes. And so what they did, Dad got a bright idea. Well, I'm just going to put a fence up. And they put that fence up, and I'd never bothered it until they hung the gate. When they hung the gate, the war was on. I walked over, I clumb over the gate, and I was gone. You know, I just like to live out in that area. I didn't want to be hemmed in. But see, boundaries are safe. I mean, we had cattle and horses and all these things around there. I could have got, you know, no telling what could have happened. You know, I had pigs. You know, pigs look kind of innocent until they get mad. If anybody's ever been around a bad sow, you know what I'm talking about. When a baby pig squeals, you best be heading for the fence, because that old sow will eat you. She'll eat you. And so there's so many dangerous things. But see, that's what we do as Christians. There's so many dangerous things out there that we really don't need in our life. God has come to give us fulfillment, but yet we think we want to be like the world, and that gets us in trouble. And what message are we wanting to send to the people around us? What message are we wanting to send? What are we wanting to let them know about our walk and how that's important? So to me, everything matters. Everything matters. Every decision we make, everything we do. See, Daniel and his friends set the boundary early, and that helped them. See, by not bowing at the little things, we will gain experience to not to bow at the big things. And that's very important because the big things are coming. Big things are coming. And there's been a lot of people, a lot of Christian ministers, that when the big thing came, they fell. And mighty was the fall. Because they sent a witness to the world, and many people's lives were destroyed. You know, God bless, most of them got restored. But one decision, I'm not going to mention the name, but he was one of the biggest time television evangelists the world's ever seen. He was part of a denomination, and he got in trouble with the ladies, and then he fell. I can't remember the number, but his tithe to his organization funded hundreds, if not thousands, of missionaries overseas, making a big, big, big dent on this world, reaching people for Christ. But when that happened, the missionaries came home. No money to send the missionaries. Just by that one decision, just by that choice to live so close to the edge that you stepped over that line. And that's why, don't think, well, hey, it'll never happen to me. Have you ever said that? Oh, it'll never happen to me. But see, it can happen. And that's what we need to be careful about. And that's what we're going to learn from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, I got it right. So everything matters. Okay, Daniel 3, verse 4 to 6 is where this story starts. It says, "Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'To you the command is given, O peoples, nations of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace and the blazing fire.'" Here I want to see the fact that you have a choice, bow or burn. You bow or you burn. And see, that's what the devil wants us to see. He wants you to understand that. See, what happened is that Nebuchadnezzar got puffed up with pride, and he set up an idol for himself to be worshipped. This was in Daniel 3. Well, in Daniel 2, what happened was Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it was to be interpreted. Now, all the wise men of the nation, now here, he made it hard. He says, "I want you to tell me what the dream was and then interpret it." But all the wise men there, they said, "No, nobody can do that. Just tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you." He said, "No, you have to tell me what the dream was, and then you got to tell me what it meant." Well, nobody could figure it out, and he was going to have him put to death. And the word then got to Daniel. Daniel went and said, "Hey, paraphrase, give me a day. You know what I'm saying? Let me see if I can't figure this out." Well, God gave him wisdom. So him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went and they prayed and, you know, probably did some fast and things like this. And all of a sudden, God revealed the dream and the interpretation to him. And he went and told the king. Well, that just saved him. Plus, it got Daniel probably a pretty good gig, you know what I mean, as an advisor in the kingdom. But part of the dream was the fact that it showed this idol or the statue, and the top of the idol was made of gold. And that was Nebuchadnezzar. Well, when he got that revelation, I'm sure he got puffed up with pride. Look at me. You know, I'm the head. You know, and then it mentioned other kingdoms that were going to come later, and prophetically it did all come true. But anyway, the idea here was the fact that when he got in pride, he decided to set up this idol that everybody has to bow to me. Now, all these other heathen could do it because they had several different gods. They prayed to many gods. But the Hebrews had one God. They just have one God, Yahweh. You can't bow to any other gods. And if you do that, you get in trouble with Yahweh. So they had that choice, and they chose not to bow. And it really made Nebuchadnezzar irritated. He got really mad because the fact that they wouldn't bow is when they said they were going to be thrown in that fiery furnace. Now, you and I probably won't have a tough decision like that, but there is tough decisions that we make. See, you know, if you don't bow, you will burn. That's what the devil says. If you don't bow to me, if you don't try to fit in, if you don't do these things and try to, you know, be a part of the world system, you know, you're gonna be in big trouble. Now, to me, fire is a pretty evil way to die. Nobody wants to die that way, I would think. I mean, a lot of people don't want to die anyway, but let alone by a fire. But here's what happened. When they wouldn't bow, the snitches, everybody know the snitches, You know, there's snitches everywhere. They went and told on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know where Daniel was. He's probably off doing something else. But see, Daniel was the man. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were just along for the ride. You know, have you ever been along for the ride? And all of a sudden, you're the man. The leader's gone. He's off doing something else, and here you're here to make this big decision, you know? I mean, where's Daniel at a time like this? Well, he wasn't there. So they had that decision to make. And then what Nebuchadnezzar did, you know, just like any demonic deal would do, is he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance. If you'll bow, you won't burn. And that's what the devil wants us to do. See, the devil would prefer to have a traitor than a martyr. Martyrs fire people up to follow the faith. Traitors get people to fall away. So we need to decide, which one do we want to be? And see, there are people in other parts of the world that are willing to die for their faith, and sometimes we're not even willing to live for ours. You know, we need to take this a little more seriously and the things that we have to deal with in life. You know, I received that, I mentioned it before, that prayer letter from this organization, and it tells me things that are happening to the persecuted church. It gives testimonies and tells their name about, you know, how, you know, these one people were, one of them was a Muslim, got saved, started preaching the gospel, and gave his testimony, and like 30 or 40 people ended up converting to Christ, and then he got beat the tar out of him. They got mad. You know, but he didn't rescind. He didn't give up the faith. I mean, once you've really met Jesus, you know, where can you go? What's the answer then? There is no other answer. So we have to have that, but we need to set our mind that I'm not going to stumble. I'm not going to make other people stumble. I want to be a witness for Christ. I want to leave a life to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And see, we live in a world that's filled with white lies that only lead to dark truth. And see, what dark truth is the lie that we believe is the truth. You know, how many know that we have a tendency to justify our actions? Have you ever done that? We justify what we do. Oh, I did that because, so I think I'm okay. But I know that it wasn't what I should have done. And so that's why, you know, we need to make sure that we stay away from that. And you know, the scripture tells us to beware of idols. And see, what an idol is, it's an image or statue that is regarded as equal or greater than God. Now, I'm going to mention a few idols that you and I have to deal with. These are not all of them, but there's a few that we could probably work on today. You know, the first idol we have is self. You know, we can think that we're the center of the universe, that it's all about us. We can't we? Every now and then. And see, also what happens too, have you ever noticed, you know, when, you know, we buy maps in the United States of the world, what's in the center? United States. Technically, it ought to be Jerusalem or Israel. You know, technically, that's where everything flows out of. You know, all that. But we're so used to us being the center as Americans. Now, America's done some great things, but a lot of things that Americans do, we're kind of self-centered and conceited. And, you know, we go to other countries and we expect them, they have to speak English. You know, we expect them to speak English. But, you know, it's just that's just the self-idea that we have sometimes as Americans. Next one is self-security or strength, is where you and I trust in the arm of man or our own strength. You know, sometimes it's humbling to believe that we need help, that we need God in our life. We need somebody. And, you know, the old saying, some say Christianity is a crutch. Well, yeah, we all need help. No matter how good we are or, you know, how strong we think we are, we all need help in our life. You know, we need each other, and we especially need God. Next one is self-approval. You know, sometimes we become a people pleaser, and that makes us feel needed. Everybody wants to feel needed, right? Everybody wants to have a purpose why they're here. You know, a lot of times, as parents, we have children and we feel needed. But what happens when the children move out? If they move out, right? No, when they move out. What happens when they move out? what then? See, we can't let our life revolve around our children. It needs to revolve around God and the things of God. You know, and that's the approval, you know, that we do is, the one I'm looking for is, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Next is relationships. You know, people in our life that we put before God, there are some sometimes we have to be careful of. When we have a relationship that goes against Jesus, or ahead of Jesus Christ, Adam put his wife ahead of God. You know, he could have chosen not to eat the fruit, and I don't know what would have happened all there. I mean, that's hindsight. But, you know, he chose to eat the fruit with his wife. And then we have success, wealth, and greed. That's another idol. See, when money becomes our God, and you know, the Bible says we cannot serve God and mammon. You know, when we chase after that, and, you know, everybody knows we need money, we have to pay our bills, have to do all those things, but, you know, it can't, greed, we can't live with greed dominating our decisions of why we go to work and things. Lastly, one I want to throw in there is intellect. You know, man's wisdom, which is ahead of God's wisdom. You know, God's wisdom is far ahead, and, you know, sometimes things can, you know, get in the way. It happened to Solomon. I mean, Solomon started out awesome. You know, God says, hey, I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want? Could ask for anything. He says, oh, this was humble. I mean, he said, God, give me the wisdom where I can lead these people that you put me in charge of. That's paraphrased. And then God says, you know, well done, you know. Hey, you could have asked for money, you could have asked for the life of your enemy, but you asked for this. And so God immensely blessed him. And then God gave him that wisdom. Well, then he started to make some mistakes. I mean, which was, you know, sometimes better for the country in a sense. Instead of going to war and fighting over land, he would marry a woman from that country, like the king's daughter or something, and they'd enter into a covenant. So now they didn't have to fight that country. They were just protecting each other. Well, it seemed like a logical idea, but he married 700 women. You know what I'm saying? Had 300 concubines. And then he married all these women that had other gods, and they led him astray. Here God had given him all this wisdom. He said he's the wisest man in the Bible. I mean, but all that wisdom, it turned into pride and puffed him up a little bit, and he got in trouble with God. He got back right with God at the end, but, you know, he just, you know, we all have weaknesses, and we need to know what they are to stay away from them. Okay, so now I want to read about in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's decision. And it's something that we need to settle in our heart. You need to read this several times. It says, if it be so, this is after Nebuchadnezzar gave him a second shot at it. He said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of a blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But verse 18 says, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Man, that's just powerful. That's just where the rubber meets the road. Are we going to follow God no matter what? See, do we only follow God when he does what we ask, or are willing to follow him no matter what the circumstances or outcome? You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I know sometimes, you know, we go through difficult situations, very hard situations, loss of a loved one, you know, just maybe financial pain. You know, all these different things and emotional pain. You know, and sometimes, you know, we can get mad at God because things didn't turn out the way we wanted. Maybe God didn't answer our prayer the way that we wanted him to. And we have to decide, am I serving God only if he does what I want? Or I'm going to serve God even if it doesn't work out for me? Am I going to stay true to God? Am I going to remain faithful to him? No matter what. And see, that's what these three Hebrew youth did. They were young men, and they had to make that decision. And it was a tough decision. And they had to do it in a country they'd been taken away from their family, and over there all alone. They could have easily said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They could have just tried to fit in. But they made a decision. Instead of fitting in, they wanted to stand out. because they stood up. And that's what happens here. So then, you know, I know that life has so many seasons, and we need to be ready for each season. You just never know what's coming. And just as Daniel made up his mind, you know, we need to make up our mind, and that I'm not going to bow even if God does not deliver me, that I'm willing to die for what I believe in. Last passage I want to see here is Daniel 3, 24 and 25. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, 'Was it not three men we cast into the fire, or bound into the midst of the fire?' They replied to the king, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of gods.'" So that's pretty awesome. You know, like it said last week, these are Sunday school lessons I didn't learn. You know what I mean? I didn't go to church as a kid. How many went to church as a kid and learned all these things? I'd say lower percentage of the church have not. But from this story we see, there were four men in the fire. You know, it made the Nebuchadnezzar so mad, you know, that they would not bow, so they're going to be thrown in. And he got so mad that he made the fire hotter. And he made it so hot that he asked his most valiant warriors to come up and to grab Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and take them up and toss them into the fire. And when they did that, the ones who threw them in died. The fire was so hot. Have you ever been close to a fire? I think we all have. That heat is immense. I don't know if you remember that one time we had a church cookout. We used pallets for kindling. Don't do that. It burns really hot. Really hot. The fire was so hot, we couldn't even cook a hot dog with a 10-foot stick. I mean, it was hot. We had to take a pallet as a shield and put it close, and then we'd stick our stick through the pallet. So we'd get there, cook our hot dog, and it was just boom. It was just cooked. They were all burnt, you know? So memo to self. You know what I mean? Don't do that. That's not good. That's not a good way. You know, slow is better. I mean, you don't learn that early in life, but slow is better sometimes, you know. And so what they did is that they threw them in, and, you know, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad. And people of character can really irritate people of compromise. People of character can really irritate people of compromise. You know, they'll try to get in your way. They'll say, "Oh, you just quit being holier than thou. You know, you think you're so good." And then they say, "Do you think you're better than me?" They're trying to get us to compromise. You know, we can't do that. And see, I would rather be in the fire with Jesus rather than living in luxury with the king. I'd rather be in the fire with Jesus. The Bible says that their hair wasn't singed, nor was their clothes burned. And what happened is, the devil says, "Bow or burn." God says to you, if you won't bow, you won't burn. You got to see that for your life. If you won't bow, you won't burn. Stop compromising. Stop just giving in. Don't go along just to get along. You know, we need to stand up for what we believe in. And see, now, a lot of people are married here today. You know, compromise is okay in marriage. You got to do that to get along sometimes, and I encourage that. But it has no place when a Christian is dealing with the world system. When we're dealing with the world, we cannot compromise. We have to set that boundary. You know, how many are glad, like when you go around a corner on a highway, sometimes they have those guardrails? You know, those are there for a reason. Because you hit the guardrail, you know, yeah, you're going to damage your car a little bit, but you're not going to go over the edge. You're going to be safe. And see, we need those guardrails in our life. You know, compromise is like if we're in for a penny, then we're in for a pound. Once we start to compromise, that's what starts to happen in our life. And see, we can live with peace in our heart, even if we're living in a world without peace. We have a world that's without peace. There's a lot of wars, a lot of dissension, a lot of things going on in this world. But I'll tell you what, as a Christian, if we're wanting to follow Christ, I mean, the world can be at just chaos all around us, but we can have that peace in our heart. You know, I know that works. I mean, even the kids on the van said, "Pastor, how do you do this? I mean, the chaos on the church van on Wednesday night is just out of this world. I mean, some of them, it's just nuts. And I'm just sitting there, and the kids, some of the older kids, they start to grow up a little bit, praise God, and they say, how can you do this? I said, I just love kids, man. If I don't get them, they won't come. If I don't get them, they won't come. So I'm willing to endure, and I'll be honest, I enjoy it, be honest, I miss out on a lot going on back there. There's so much chaos, I can't really tell who's saying what all the time. I need to try to, get that straight. There's always a few snitches on the van. I usually get the lowdown later on, but that's all good. But the devil, what he tries to do, he tries to get us to bow or burn. He's trying to put fear in our hearts. So just remember that God says if you won't bow, you won't burn. Whatever God doesn't deliver us out of, he's going to bring us through, people. We can't be panty-waist Christians that if we pray and we don't see our answer that we want right now, we're just going to quit. Well, I'm just not going to follow God no more. He didn't meet my needs the way I wanted my needs met, so I'm not going to do it no more. Quit being a whiner, right? Come on. Who are we to talk against God? How can the pot say to the potter, I don't like the way you made me? Come on. We just need to fall in line and march. We just need to follow God. I'm going to serve God no matter what. There's nothing going to make me turn. I don't understand the trail all the time. I don't understand the hills, but I'm just going to keep going. Amen. I'm just going to keep following God no matter what, because God is true. God is real. God is the answer. And I do know sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell, and I do not want to burn. Right. Amen? I'm going to stay faithful. So we live in a world that is chipping away at our faith, and we need to make up our mind that we're not going to bow to idols. Destiny is determined by decisions. And it's important that we make them decisions, because we want our destiny to be with the things of God. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, I've been through some hard times. I've been through some battles, and all the times the battles may not have went the way that I wanted, but I hung in there. And I'll be honest, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did, because things start to fall in line. If you keep fighting, and you keep putting the devil back in his place, and you keep getting your mind centered on God, you're going to start to see things fall in line in your life, and you're going to get to the place you want to be. Amen? All right, let's pray.